Vectis Radio. Vectis Radio. FM 104.6. Bringing the island's community together.
Okay, our guest for Tuesday has arrived, and we've got to say, when I looked at your name, I thought, Jeff Underwood just feels like a cricketer. You ought to be a cricketer. What do you think?
Now, I reckon so far it's absolutely rubbish.
Right, okay. Now, it's really strange that we probably grew up not too many streets away from each other. When you walked in, I thought I recognised you from somewhere. May have been when we were growing up, I don't know. But you used to live up Staplers-y kind of way.
That's right, yeah. My mum's still there, yeah.
Your mum's still there?
Yeah.
Wow. And did you go to Medina?
No, I went to Carisbrook.
You went to Carisbrook. Yeah. So I got a funny feeling you might be slightly older than me then.
Can't be possible.
You must be.
I'm only 30, mate.
Okay, and we teased everybody, and I know that Hannah. Just say hello, Hannah.
Hey.
We teased Hannah because I said that your sister was 2 years younger than me, I think, and I made the comment of back in about 1982, 1983, she was seen a few times dragging a coffin behind her.
That could have been me in that. I don't know.
No, I tell you the reason why. Do you want to know the reason why? Because
yeah.
I thought you'd know, but you obviously didn't.
She's as mad as a box of rocks, that girl.
She used to do a lot of disco dancing competitions.
Yes.
And
it was
one of her props for the dance that she did, and she was brilliant at it. Because she would they would just get the coffin out on the floor, and the music would start. Guess what music it was, and then she would get out of the coffin and do this amazing dance. And I think she won numerous things. She was really good at it. It was Michael Jackson's Thriller. And that's the reason why.
I remember dragging the coffin around Newport.
Maybe I made that up, just to sort of embellish it a little bit. Hey, look, you've got many hats, but today you're here as White Aid, talking about White Aid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just outline what White Aid is.
What White Aid is, it's a foundation. It's really focused on trying to get business community to give to local charitable causes. The idea behind it is basically as my company has grown and we were giving more and more to charity, it was becoming a little bit of a sort of challenge to organise. And so what I thought was actually it would be good if there was like a charity out there that could just dish the money out that businesses want to give. And so the idea came that, you know, I kind of thought, well, if I can just write one check, I don't have to worry about it, then I'm sure lots of other businesses will feel the same.
Mm.
So the concept is simply that, you know, that we get businesses together, and by pooling our resources, we can do really good things for the Isle of Wight. So that's basically the idea behind it.
How long has it been going for?
Just over 18 months now.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've managed to pull in quite a few companies, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got a fair number. It's too many to mention, really, at the moment, but it's growing. And the whole idea is, you know, to try and get as many businesses donating as smaller amount, a big amount, whatever, you know, even if we can get sort of 50 quid a month out of a company. It's all super tax efficient, as you probably know, so it doesn't really cost them anything. So that's it.
It's a wonderful thing, and it's only I'm guessing as we get kind of older and we realize that there's a lot of people out there that need help and assistance and so on. You know, maybe when we were younger we didn't realize that, but now it's very apparent. And you know, I think it's a wonderful thing that people are starting to help. I saw something on the TV this morning, and I thought, what a decent bloke! There ain't many decent politicians around at the moment, but I really thought that Andy Burnham was talking about people that were homeless in Manchester, and they were tackling it by, you know, basically doing what you're doing, pulling together and seeing what resources they've got and so on, and they're hopefully going to tackle that.
Yeah,
and they'll start. And I just think you come across as a really decent bloke, and it just restores your faith when you know that there's people like yourself out there that are doing things. And I know it was Brian Marriott came in 6 months ago, and he was saying that you've managed to there was a day trip. There were certain young kids from somewhere, and they all went on a day trip, and there were hundreds of these kids that went on a day trip, and you just think that's a wonderful thing, because you know their lives are kind of probably a little bit different to ours, and we should make a difference. And my motto is, if you can make a difference, you should. And I'm guessing we got Hannah in. We were talking, funny enough, we were talking about, you know, Hannah. Do you want to tell the story? You tell the story.
Okay. People know how that I am disabled. I got a brain injury. It doesn't stop me from doing anything, but I do have my limits to my to what I can do. So life is really hard for me sometimes, but it's just a roller coaster. My life is.
We were talking before Jeff arrived, and it was, and we were talking about how different our childhoods were. We were talking about the jobs that we can, you know, go and get, hopefully, and so on and so forth. And you just, we were, you know, I think we come to the conclusion that, you know, I've got a job, Toby's going to get a job, hopefully, fingers crossed, and you're struggling.
Yeah.
And you're struggling because you haven't got that ability to go into a place and say, there's my exam results and so on. Just wants to be given a chance. You know, you said you've got experience of retail and stuff like that. Yeah. And it just opens your eyes that there are many people, you know, not just on the island, but around the country that are in these situations, and they shouldn't be penalised just because of. And the things that you're doing is certainly not penalising, it's helping people and making a huge difference. And the more we do that, the more aware we make people that, hey, look, you know, this lady could do something, definitely. And so I'm guessing that, are you helping people like Hannah as well, people of a certain age, or is it up to a capped on an age thing?
No, it's not capped at all.
Good.
I mean, we help any charitable cause on the island. I mean, the White Aid is really focused on the Isle of Wight, and it's focused on people, so we tend not to support animal charities, and that's nothing against animal charities, it's just that there's such a need, a human need on the island, that we really want to just focus on helping people and improving people's quality of life. That's really the focus of it. And you know, we've helped in the 18 months or so we've been going, about 62 different charities on the island, and they're a complete range, from, you know, what you might call a one-man band charity, where somebody's just trying to make a difference off their own back, up to, you know, the Youth Trust, which is quite a large organisation who are helping young people as well. So, you know, it's not just young people. We help the Stroke Club. We've helped the prostate cancer awareness groups. You know, there's a whole range.
It just really opens your eyes. There's so many people out there that just need some kind of help and assistance. And they say it's not just the youngsters, is it?
No,
it really is, because Hannah's no way a youngster now. She's 24. She's like almost over the hill.
Not for a long as you.
Yes, thank you for that. We only get rid on a Tuesday, so she can insult me.
Yeah.
It's good therapy, isn't it? You feel better now, do you?
Yeah.
Well, you keep going. You've got another 40-odd minutes yet.
Yeah, she's doing a good job.
I can keep on going.
All right. How many youngsters do you think, you know, have you got hundreds, thousands, or...?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are a good 500 charities on the Isle of Wight.
Wow.
You know, there's a whole load of charities. And we've only sort of helped 60 of them. So there's a lot to do. And, yeah. And one of the things that we really want to do with White Aid is make it easy for charities to apply. A lot of foundations, due to the complexity of how it's run, you know, they can't give money more than once or twice a year.
Right.
Well, White Aid is set up, we give out 10 times a year, so it's almost every month we're making donations out to charities. So the benefit to charities who have an immediate need is that they don't have to wait they don't have to wait 6 months or a year to hear whether they've been successful. You know, they'll know within a couple of weeks whether they're up for a donation from us, and then, you know, that can have an immediate impact. So it's a subtly different way of working.
I think, honestly, the more you hear about this, the more fabulous it becomes. I mean, 500 charities. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, the Isle of Wight sometimes gets run down for having this, this not in my backyard kind of attitude and so on and so forth. But when it comes down to kindness, generosity, people pulling together, you see it every year. I mean, there's Walk the Wight this week, and you know that thousands of people are going to walk across the Isle of Wight, come rain, heat, whatever it chucks at them, they will do it in the name of charity, and they will raise, you know, a considerable amount of money. And you'll know that those people that aren't doing it will either donate or they'll help. Or you know, because there'll be loads of people that'll be helping on the walk and so on and so forth. And it never ceases to amaze me, the big old heart that, you know, island folk have. And just to think that 500 charities, I mean, that's incredible. I was told very recently that there are 40-odd charities that are here at the Riverside Centre. Mm. And you think, on one hand, it's a bit like, you know, the food banks. You think, why do we need them? Well, thank God we got them, because otherwise there'd be people going hungry. Yeah. And, you know, they should be helped elsewhere. But, you know, that's where you come in. People like you coming in, stepping in and saying, right, we're going to set this up and we're going to do this. So you meet every month to make a difference. And you've been doing that for about 18 months, which is fabulous. I know that there are a couple of people that I know that's on the board and so on. Are you looking for other people to join?
Not the board. But anybody who wants to help out, you know, welcome to get in contact. Our big struggle is actually getting around to talk to all the businesses, because we're not going after individuals. We're not looking for legacies. The way, again, it's very different to most foundations. We are money in, money out, basically. So if we raise money, we don't invest it. We have very, very low overheads. And so, you know, basically, money comes in. If we've got it in the bank, we'll spend it. And at the end of the year, we judge a success by the fact we got almost nothing in the bank. So that's, you know, that is an immediate impact. And if the money's not there, well, we can't give it. But I'd rather have, you know, if I had £100,000, I'd rather give that money away than invest it and actually, you know, have a few thousand pounds to give away. This is just a different concept, really. But, you know, we think it works.
Okay, and it's anybody and anything that needs it. You know, if it's a worthy cause, then you know, how difficult is it to work out what's worthier than another?
Well, that's always difficult, because they're all good causes. I mean, the application process is pretty simple. We you know, one of the focuses just make it as easy as possible. We know that charities, and a lot of the smaller charities, who are the ones we're really trying to focus on, Some of those people struggle to make applications, and so we will always help them. They can just phone up if they're struggling. It's all easily done online, provided you're online, of course. But we also have just introduced an even simpler system. So the way it works is we'll donate money up to about £10,000. That's roughly the limit at the moment. But if you have a requirement for something under £500, all you have to do now is just write us a letter or send us an email. It's as simple as that. Just say what you want to do with the money, and then we'll sit down, we'll go through it and see if it's something we want to support. But generally, if it's a good cause and it's helping people out, then we'll support it when we can.
Half the battle is, you just said there about, you know, getting in touch. How easy is it to get in touch? You just write a letter, send an email and so on. I know that we as a radio station about 3 years ago applied to become a charity, and they got back to us and they said, you can't become a charity, you're a radio station. And we said, yeah, we know. Haven't you heard of Radio Lollipop or, you know, Hospital Radio or anything like that? And they said, sorry, we don't think you become a radio station. You can't become a charity because of. And then we tried to apply, because we've got a training school as well within the station. And again, they kept us waiting and so on. So it's really, so all that red tape and what I'm trying to get at is all that red tape that puts people off. There's no red tape here. You just send an email, pick up the phone, write a letter, and someone will read it, listen to it, and it's that easy. And I guess you get an answer, like you say, between how long? A couple of weeks?
A couple of days? Yeah, absolutely. And you could get your money within a month. So it's that's the idea. Just make it as simple as possible. And you know, for people wanting to support White Aid, you know, the message really is, it's dead simple as well. You just write one check. You don't have to worry about sort of the letters that come in looking for support. You can always point them at White Aid. You just write one check to us. We'll do the rest. I mean, as I say, the last 18 months, we've supported over 60 charities. We give any donor, they get a report at the end of the year saying who we've donated to and how much, so they know exactly where the money's gone. And, you know, we will, where we can, give them a bit of bit of marketing if they want it. You know, when we're presenting a check, we'll often invite a donor business along to sort of present the check as well. But we don't do what they call restricted funds. So you, if you're a donor, you can't tell us, you know, you can't say, oh, I just want the money to go to the hospice or something like that.
Right.
You know, we decide. And that keeps it real simple. We don't have to manage people's money. We just, the money goes into one pot, and then we'll tell you what we've done with it. But you can trust us that it'll be well spent, and it'll be spent locally.
All on the island.
All on the Isle of Wight. Or charities that have a footprint on the island. So, you know, I'm trying to think of an example. Something like Naomi House, that supports young people on the Isle of Wight with cancer. You know, they're based on the mainland, but they have a big impact over here. So, you know, that would be something we'd take into consideration.
You just mentioned charities that I've never heard of. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's we're all learning here. And the more awareness that we've got, you know, I think can only be a really good thing. How difficult is it for you on a daily basis when you go and meet people, you know, of keeping it together for a start? Because I mean, I'd fall to bits if, you know, every time you meet people and so on, you just think, wow, there's someone else that's you know, that needs our help, for one, and there's someone else that is going to humble you.
Yeah, I find it is humbling. That's the really good word. When you go along, you well up with pride to what people are doing. I mean, most people who actually need support are mucking in as well. That, you know, it's not like people just sat there with their hands out. They're generally getting involved as well. So that, yes, there are some amazing people doing amazing things, but the people on the other end are also a lot of the time really working hard to sort of make that all happen as well. So it's phenomenal, the number of people doing awesome things. And you well up a little bit when you see it, and it just opens your eyes. And that's one of the things I would say, you know, to local businesses particularly. You know, if you get involved and you come and see what some of these people are doing, you just want to get involved more and more. You know, it just hooks you in.
Yeah.
I'm a strong believer that, you know, there's some businesses on the island doing great things, but there's a lot of business on the Isle of Wight who are not pulling their weight, and they, you know, we need to put a shout out to those people to really get their finger out and actually do a bit more for the community. Because, you know, it's all very well and it's great if you're sponsoring a local kids football team with a kit, and that's good. But, you know, you want to be involved, trying to get businesses to get involved in the wider community and have an impact on people's lives, you know, really positively.
You must have a question, Hannah. If you haven't, don't worry, we'll come back to you, because I'm pretty sure you have. You were writing something down there. It's not, you're not writing, you're not flirting again, writing your telephone number down, are you?
It's all right, we've already swapped.
Yeah.
Oh, <I'm> cheeky. No, I mean, I will think about what to say, but not right now.
Okay, what about you, yeah. Toby, have you got a question? I thought you'd nodded off there.
Yeah,
I thought you'd gone to sleep.
I was really engrossing. I was actually taking it all in. No, I don't.
Five hundred charities. That knocks you sideways, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And are they just the ones you know about?
I mean, I don't know half of them, but you know, there's just so much going on. And one of the other things that we're trying to do in YAID, and it's no disrespect to the bigger charities, but we really are trying to get to some of the smaller guys out there, because the bigger charities have their own sort of fundraising and marketing machine, and we all know the names of the different charities and the big ones that vacuum up all the.
Yeah,
not all the giving, but you know, they're really popular. You know, we're really trying to think, well, how can we get to the smaller guys that don't have the ability to get out there and raise funds? You know, they're just, you know, say individuals or a small group of people trying to make a difference. And
well, that's why we invited you in, because you know, we didn't know anything about YAID. We'd asked we'd asked around and people mentioned it, and then we bumped into who's the guy, is it Steve Porter Transport?
Oh yeah, he's a trustee,
yeah. and he told us more about it, and then other people were talking about it and so on, and you just think, right, okay, well, we should be talking about these things and putting it out so more and more people know about it, for two reasons. You know, one, they can get involved by making a donation, and you know, by getting involved, I mean really getting involved. And the other is, there may be a group of people out there that just need a bit of a leg up, and they don't, you know, they've gone through all the rigmarole of filling in forms for other people, and then they wait 10 months to, and it kind of, it's off-putting. You've made it so simple, where if you want a need and we've got it and we think it's a good cause, you'll get it within a short period of time. And you know, very often you hear these stories and you read these stories and you think, when is someone going to help these people? I mean, the story about John's Club has been bouncing around for the last, you're probably aware of that.
Very well, I've been supporting John's Club. God, forever it seems.
honestly, you look at that and you think, will somebody just get them a place so they can do the good, carry on the good work that they're doing? And you do get kind of frustrated. I think they had a place here, they had a place in Shankly, and I'm not sure whether they're being moved on again. I'm not sure. But I do know that the guy, is it John, the actual guy, has got this is something else that people ought to know. He don't shout about it, but he's got an OBE or an MBE, one of the two. Because, did you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, he's an incredible bloke. And you just think, all this guy has done is just given his life to helping other people, sorting out this. And you think, come on, there's a man that really needs some help. You're helping him.
Yeah.
You just think that it's someone somewhere, just grant them the wish that they want so they can carry on doing the work that they do.
And they do. I mean, you know, John's a classic example, isn't he? You know, he's a guy who's sort of involved in adults with learning difficulties, and he's just cracked on and done it. And that's what I find amazing about people like that.
Yeah, and he has just got on with it. And you know, sometimes he finds himself, you know, the club homeless, or they're going to lose. I mean, we've had numerous phone calls saying, oh, can we help? Can we help? And we put out messages. That's about all we can do. But there's people like yourselves that are helping out. But you just think the bigger people, I'm not saying you're not big, but I mean bigger people will be able to come up with something. Here's a building here. Let's. Can you do that as well? Does it always have to be a donation of money? Can it be here's a property, you can have it for as long as you need it?
It can be anything. So the cross-zonal operators have given us access to tickets. So if we need, you know, if there's a group that we feel need justifiably to get across on the hovercraft, for example, for an event or whatever they need, then we can, on behalf of Hover Travel, we can give those tickets out. Same thing with Whitelink have very kindly sponsored us in that way as well. So you know, there's in-kind type of things that we'll accept anything. In fact, one of the things we're trying to put together is a bit of a tie up with Men in Sheds, you know, so that we can actually, if somebody needs something building or fixing, then we could sort of get a team of volunteers in, they can go and help out, rather than us paying a builder to do the work, you know, who's obviously going to take his profit or pay his time or his lads. You know, we have a bunch of volunteers and go and help there. So that's early days yet, but that'll be another thing we can do, hopefully.
You've mentioned the website, but you haven't mentioned the actual details of how to get on it.
Okay, dead easy. It's www.whiteaid.org, O-R-G. Just go on there. It's a very, very clean and simple website. I think It's got two main pages, donate and apply.
Right, simple.
So, yeah, and it's got the contact details on there, telephone numbers on there if it's needed. But, yeah, you can donate. And you can donate as an individual, but we don't actively promote that. We're trying to focus on businesses because there are other charitable foundations out there that are really targeting individuals. But, you know, if an individual wants to help us, maybe somebody, you know, absolutely bring it on. You know, we'll take what we get. Well, it won't be put into a trust or a trust. It won't be invested. Mm. That money will go out the door as soon as it possibly can.
How does it compare? Does the Isle of Wight compare to other places? I know the one thing that I think that the Isle of Wight has got going for itself is it's got a boundary. There you go. That's us. That's how far we stretch to. Whereas you go somewhere else, and you know, how far do you stretch? But this is the Isle of Wight. So I mean, I guess it's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's really easy to define your geographical boundary, and that's fairly easy. As regards to getting access to donors and people like that, that's not too bad either. You know, everybody knows everybody on the Isle of Wight. There are fewer wealthy businesses on the island because there aren't so many big businesses, and the big businesses that are here tend to be tied into a national kind of charity. So, you know, BAE Systems, for example, support, you know, one of the big charities, I think Help for Heroes or somebody like that, because that's a corporate level decision. But you know, our target is owner operated companies if we can.
Are you okay over there? Because you're like fanning yourself. Are you a bit hot?
Yeah.
Do you want to? Should we take a break in a minute then, and you can go outside for? Well, you don't smoke, but you can go outside and yeah. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're having a hot flush.
It's lovely in here.
All right, okay, we'll do that in a mo. So join us when we come back for part two, and we'll chat more. And I'm pretty sure you've got loads more to tell us, haven't you? It can't be as easy as that, can it? I mean,
yeah, it's dead easy. Just give us your money, as Bob Geldof says. Yeah.
All right, okay, join us in two. We'll be back. It's Vectis Radio. It's FM 104.6, and we will be back.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoiled countryside and woodland. So come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
The Four P's Project is proudly supported by Wheeler's Solicitors, helping you achieve your aims in life. We deal with residential and commercial conveyancing, wills, lasting powers of attorney, and probate. For more information, call us on 01983 533 938, or check out wheelers-solicitors.com.
This is Vectis Radio, the Isle of Wight's local community station. In 2013, Vectis Radio set up the 4Ps Radio School, designed to train young people aged 11 to 19 in four crucial areas of radio: presenting, production, promotion, and podcasting, hence the 4Ps. The course is also available to people with additional needs up to the age of 25, helping young people gain confidence and skills that will help them as they move forward in life. To find out more, visit www.4ps.org.uk. This is Vectis Radio, for the people, by the people.
It was a well-paying job, respectable, wearing a suit and tie every day. But I drank 24/7. Drank on the way to work, drank at work.
I never could come to terms with admitting that I had an alcohol problem or a pill problem.
I decided to get clean, and so I went to the Knock On program.
Not only did I handle my drug addiction, I completely knew how to live life.
Call Knock On today at 01435 512 460. 01435 512 460.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
Okay, we've made a little substitution because Hannah was feeling like, well, a bit overcome by all the heat in here. And to be honest, it's normally on a summer's day like today, it's normally a lot warmer than it is. And we have lost a few people in the past because it's been that warm. So we brought in Jonathan Bacon instead. Who,
good morning. Good afternoon.
How are you? You all right?
I'm fine. Am I turned on there?
You are turned on, yeah. Yeah, you're
not
just,
in that way.
Just now. I'm trying to make a good impression. And we've also got Toby in the studio as well. Have you thought of a question yet, Toby?
No.
Okay. And we've also got Jeff Underwood in as well. And we are talking about Whitehead. And we want to bang the drum. We want to make more and more people aware. The more and more people that are aware, the more people you can help. And obviously, the more people get involved, it leads to, you know, a win-win situation. Who was the first group of people that you helped out?
Oh, crikey. Aspiring Ride were one of them. We donated some money so they could buy a minivan, minibus to take people around. We've helped out the Youth Trust. We've helped, oh God, so many. I lose track because in the first year we did 50 charities. Mm. So and typically in the sort of £5,000 to £10,000 mark, we try and aim to give away between £10,000 and £20,000 a month. Or when we meet, anyway. So we've done all right with that. But yeah, absolutely, so many, and yeah, it's quite mind blowing, really. When you ask that question, I think, oh, crikey, yeah. The list just goes on. I've got a list here. Anyway, we've got that. If you recall, the bus shelter, which was unfortunately ran into difficulty, but the bus shelter we helped in a big way. Pony driving for the disabled. Ride Rotary. We helped UKSA with their getting the kids on the water program, the year six program that they had, where they're trying to get every year six child out on the water. The WAVE project, family support, Jigsaw family support. I could bore you stupid. I mean,
no, you're not at all.
The food bank. There's we've helped the Blue Lamp Trust, which is involved with trying to keep young people out of trouble. The marching band, Medina marching band, with instruments, the ability dogs for young people, West White Sports and Community Centre, Independent Arts, Storeroom 2010,
all these places are all making a massive difference.
Oh, absolutely!
I'm glad you're giving them a shout out because sometimes they need a pat on the back, don't they? Because I do believe that. You know, they get they don't get enough press.
No.
They don't get enough of the limelight. These people are doing wonderful things, and it just makes you realise that the Isle of Wight. Yes, it has 102,000 odd people living on it. You know, years ago when I was a kid, it was you could fit the whole of the Isle of Wight inside Wembley Stadium, about 98,000, 100,000 people there. And you think, well, since then we've grown massively. And the unfortunate thing is that since then we've grown massively, but we've also got quite a few problems as well. Mm. And there's an awful lot of people out there that need some kind of help, assistance, call it what you will, and it's nice to know that it's not just we're helping nice people that doing, there's people you're trying to keep out of trouble, which I think is a wonderful thing, because I think going back to what I said about Andy Burnham this morning, there, this lady on the TV this morning, she had been in and out of prison because she didn't have anywhere to go, she just returned to crime, and now they found her a place and she's starting, now she's on the mend. And you think, well, if you don't stop and think about those people, you're not going to be able to stop and help. And eventually, something, either she ends up in prison for a longer stretch or something else far worse happens. But now she's got a chance. And I know that's happening in Manchester. But, I mean, just by doing that little thing here on the island and helping those people, it means you can make an absolute difference. There's a young man that came in a couple of years ago. And he was, can't remember his name, but he was a drug addict. He was addicted to drink. He went inside. Big guy, bodybuilding-looking chap now. And someone gave him a chance. someone, you know, like you, what you're doing now, gave him a chance, he's rebuilt his life, and now he's talking to those, you know, people that are having issues with drunks and drugs and so on. And
you think, with your worms there, mate.
How wonderful was that? That because of somebody gave him a chance and so there was some money available there, that this guy now is helping other people. And that's what it's about. It's not about, oh, that guy there, he used to be on drugs, so he can't help. No, he's the best person to help, isn't he? But it's that vision that you've got, those sorts of things that you're doing, I think is absolutely superb. Now, Jonathan's been waiting in the wings. I'm sure he's got a question. I'm sure he's got lots of things he wants to ask you.
Have I?
Oh.
You were paying attention, weren't you?
I was unable to listen to the first half because I've been having an argument with the AA on the phone, I'm afraid, which right. I wasn't here earlier. But, I mean, I was wondering if Jeff wanted to talk a bit about something we've spoken about in the past, which is a university on the island, which is very much about helping people and helping our youngsters develop and get into work.
He's just passed out. He's just, sorry, he's just, where did that come from?
Wow. I mean, Jonathan and I have had a debate about this for quite a few years, and I guess it's part of that passion, isn't it? You know, young people, the story we hear all the time is young people leaving the Isle of Wight, going to university and then not coming back, and also, you know, attracting talent into the island to work in some of the sort of technology companies and schools, you know, as teachers and what have you. If there was a facility on the island for people to study to degree level, then that might change the demographic slightly, keep young people here, it might bring more in, it might create a greater benefit for the economy. Mm-hmm. It's more a wider economic conversation really than specifically just young people, and certainly the, you know, the charity side of things.
Will you come back and have that chat then one day?
Yeah, more than willing to. I know it's something Jonathan and I share as a passion, and the MP, Bob Seeley, is very passionate about it. You know, there's a lot of people very keen on the idea, and it's not just saying, look, we'll create a university for local people, because there aren't enough local people really to support that. But actually, there's a demand nationally and internationally for that kind of facility, and if we had it on the island, you'd actually draw more people in and improve the economy. That's okay. The idea behind it, but yeah,
sounds sensible to me.
But I think a lot of what it is about, and why I mentioned it, is it's allowing people to realise their potential and giving them that help to do that, and that's something we're not always as good as we should be at, and having the right sort of facilities and the right sort of support, the sort of support White Aid gives to wider organisations, is something that's really got to be praised and encouraged.
Yeah, definitely. If there's something, I get frustrated sometimes because I know that we do fabulous stuff here, and I know that, you know, there's youngsters that come in, they do the four-piece course, and by doing the four-piece course they have, by using the ingredients of radio, we build up confidence and communication. And one of the things that I get really, really passionate about is when people don't know about it, you want to bang the drum and you want to put them straight and you want to let them know what you're doing. I'm guessing that's, you must feel similar in a way, that, you know, you want more and more people to be involved.
Completely. I mean, the you're talking about, you know, bringing young people in and training them up. You know, I'm passionate with a group of people that I do business with on the island. One of the biggest issues isn't so much the qualifications, actually it's the life skills that young people come out of school with, and that's why I'm absolutely devastated that Studio School is closing, because those guys are producing young people that are ready to go to work, and that's what we need. We need people who are not shuffling out looking at their feet and mumbling away like Kevin and Perry. You know, they're coming out, and we've recruited a young girl from the Studio School who's absolutely awesome. She walked in confident, you know, smile on her face, was able to communicate, and that's half the battle, actually. You know, they with a willingness to get on and get on with the job, you know.
I don't really feel like we've been ambushed to set up and say that this Hannah and Toby are here every week, and they have been for the last couple of months. Toby actually goes to that particular school.
Yeah, he was telling me. Yeah,
yeah, and what's your thoughts on that? I know you were a bit blasé about it last week because you said it's just not going to affect you, so you're not that bothered. But now you've had time to reflect, and you've heard somebody saying great things about the school. Are you disappointed that it's no longer going to be there?
It is a little bit annoying because it is a really good school and it does different things, but I think the reason, I think it's just not, I think it's the wrong age range of that they've picked. It's a really good school and how they teach you differently, and it's definitely got very good teachers, things like that, but I feel like it still won't affect me as much as maybe the year below me that want to go up, because obviously I would have finished the school. But on the news, I just see everywhere, like, there's been a lot of signatures to try and save it. I think it was about 4,000.
And nine now, isn't it?
Is it?
9,000.
Yeah. I mean, is it something that is going to be saved, do you think? Or do you hope that it's saved?
If it does get saved, it'd be a very slim chance.
Right.
It'd be quite hard to save it.
Because, I mean, let's come back to you, because, as I say, you come in here every Tuesday because that school allows you to have, like, a work experience thing.
Yeah.
So you've come in for a work experience. So you come in, like, for half the day and you come in and you learn how a radio station operates. You know, you sit out there, you know, finding stuff. We produce things and then you come in here and do the show. What's it done for you? Have you just by having that ability to have work experience from that particular school... And I'm trying to big up the school here and just point out that these are the things that are quite vital. Like you say, they're really vital. Have those skills. Those skills, when you leave school, it's not just about, you know, your maths, your English. It is about communication. It is about talking to people and being ready to go in and do a job.
Yeah, I think it's a really... I like the idea of that they've made it into a work experience, because it definitely changes, because you get a work experience at different schools that only go on for like a week. But this one is very regular, so it's every Tuesday. And I think that's really good because it tells you, it's a different way of teaching you. And it's...
Well, it's the next stage of life, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, we never had anything like that when we were at school, work experience. I mean, it was just, you were just left school, that was it, you were chucked in at the deep end and expected to fend for yourself. At least this way, it gives you that opportunity. Is this something, you know, because it's difficult, because it's not a charity, is it? A school is not a charity, so you can't really get involved, can you? You must be so frustrated that you can't, though.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I do what I can, you know, but it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's really, you know, that's a separate business that runs it, and it's government-funded. And you know, whether the government or even the local authority who have influence but don't have a final say, you know, whether they feel it's worth saving. I think the issue with sort of, I have to watch my words, I guess, but with sort of politics is that, you know, they have a tendency to look at the numbers and the bums on seats, and they don't look at the individual provision. And this provision is very different to what's being provided by some of the mainstream schools, and perhaps, you know, perhaps that will change. And this might be something that catalyses that change to help the mainstream schools focus a little bit more on those employability skills, because that's what we need. You know, it's as simple as that. Schools need to produce people who are ready for work, because they're doing them a disservice by just saying, oh, it's okay, we'll just chuck them out to university or chuck them out to go and work wherever, you know, and struggle. So, you know, that's what business needs.
What I like about is coming back to WhiteAid is that you've got, you know, pretty hard and fast rules there, but they're really simple, and it's not like, you know, you need a sample of blood or anything like that. You know, it's in place and it's fairly easy to get involved and so on. You haven't got to cut through all that red tape like we discussed there with schools and other things, other bits and bobs. It's actually, you get in touch, if they can help, you do.
Yeah.
Is there many people that get in touch and you think, well, that's not really what we do?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we do. And we try and make it clear what the rules. They're fairly simple. You know, the rules are, does it help people on the Isle of Wight? That's it, really. Does it help people? So, you know, I said we don't really support animal charities, but we support charities that might use animals to improve people's lives. So Bosster Equine, those guys, you know, take horses into care homes and schools and you know, they get people experiencing animals, contact with animals, and so they're doing a great job. They're improving people's lives. The Pony Driving for the Disabled, we've helped those guys. So, you know, they take as the, yeah. it says on the tin, really, they take people out who are disabled, giving them experience of riding, you know, horses, and so that's, you know, that's awesome stuff, and it's really making a big impact.
Are you ever surprised at the amount of, you know, the things, because, you know, I guess you raise the bar every period of time, because so, someone will come out with another wonderful invention or an idea, and you think, crikey, here we are, look, we're handing it, and this has come along, and this has just blown everything else out of the water. So is there any that you can mention that you think, wow, they've knocked your socks off?
I think they all do, to be honest, Ian. You know, it just... the stuff they're doing, I mean, the cow sailability guys, you know, they take disabled people out on the water, take them sailing, you know, and what that does to people's confidence and getting them out of the house, and it's just phenomenal. And there's so much of it, you know, and the range of things that we get involved with giving, you know, there's bereavement charity, Cruise Bereavement, you know, they're providing this amazing service to people who've just lost a loved one. There's the charities that supporting victims of abuse, you know, Yellow Door, we supported them last year, and then you know, the Scouts, or even we just helped the preschool at Knighton, because they've got this porter cabin that they've been operating for years and years and years. They're nothing, I didn't know, but they're nothing to do with the school, and with the mainstream school, and this old porter cabin's fallen into bits, and we've given them some money to help rebuild that. So, you know, what gives me the buzz is that, you know, I'm involved. Anybody who's donating into WITA gets involved in such a wide range. If what I would say to businesses, you know, come out and be part of this club, you know, where we can get together, we can all, as a team, we can make impact, we can really, really make some good changes. And it's so simple. Know, just
it's that getting people involved, like you say. At what point in your life did you suddenly think, do you know what, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get involved, and I'm going to make a difference? Because that's what it is, that's what it boils down to, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the company I run, we've been giving money to charity for, well, as long as I can remember. It was before John's Club. He was involved with a similar thing called Sundowners, which my son actually attended, and so, you know, as the company's grown, I've been able to give more, and then it got to a bit unmanageable state, and so that's where I thought, well, actually, lots of business people must be going through a similar thing, being, you know, having lots of charities applying to them. And what happens there is that actually people have a tendency to go for the easy ones, and those easy ones are the ones who really have got the best fundraising activity and the best marketing, and you know, you know the names. Or you've had a real emotional attachment to them, say, like the hospice. You know, everybody loves the hospice and wants to help. But of course, that's sometimes a little bit detrimental to the smaller guys. So, you know, it's the other thing I'd say to businesses is, I know we get arguments from businesses saying, look, you know, we like to support charity X, and we say, well, okay, but you're touching that one charity. If you come with White Aid, you know, you're going to touch 60 plus charities, and
it's growing.
Yeah, it's growing, and as sure as eggs is eggs, pretty much everybody in your organisation will relate to one of those charities. They might not relate to that charity X that you chose. So, you know, I think it's a really good thing to be getting involved with.
Definitely. So. I think if nothing else, this hour has opened people's eyes. I mean, you mentioned their bereavement, and you're thinking, crack, I never thought there was somebody out there that would talk to you, you know, like that. And I know that, you know, you pick up the phone and talk to a mate or whatever, but those kind of things, they kind of get, I don't know, they don't get brushed under the carpet, but they don't get enough detail out there so that people know that they're there. And, you know, this is what I get fed up with, the TV and the news, and they're putting down things, or they don't mention the help that's out there. And quite clearly, when you say 500 charities here on the island, and, you know, there's 40 here just at the Riverside Centre, you think, okay, so are they well supported? Are they, you know, when people have a problem, do they know that they've got that at their fingertips? you know, if nothing else, it's advising people. It's giving people some kind of hope that if there is an issue or there is a problem that I have, or I do need some help or I do need some assistance, it's knowing where to get it. We had somebody come in from the NHS a little while ago. For people of a certain age, they can have some kind of assistance. And I just said to them, but how do they know? And she said, well, they've just got to get in touch with the NHS. Well, I'm sorry, but you get in touch with the NHS and you try and get put through to the department that you want to get put through. And I'm not having a go at them. They're just understaffed. It's as simple as that. But do they actually know? My mum needs assistance. She wouldn't know who to go to. So it is about these kind of sessions that we're talking about, making all of these charities available for people. And as long as White Aid is supporting them, they can support all these people. But at the same time, we need to make it, you know, we need to make people aware of all of these things, all these wonderful things that are set up on the Isle of Wight that are helping all sorts of people with all sorts of problems. You're poised there for a question or...
No, I was just going to say you're absolutely right, because it's that thing about the NHS. Well, if you just call us. But people wouldn't think to call... It's the chicken and egg thing, isn't it? And we need more things that are going to make people aware. And we have events. We've got Hullabaloo, Riverfest, and they're going to alert people to certain parts of the charity market. But there are still some very valuable sort of niche support areas that find it very difficult to get their message out that they can do good work. And as a result, when people have those... probably not the right word, niche problems, they don't realise there's someone there, and that support withers and dies as a result. So it's the eternal question, how you make people aware of these things.
I've got an idea. I have these random ideas now and again. I give them to people. I say, you go and do it, because I haven't got the time to do it. But I look at it quite simply, all right? You were heavily involved in Isle of Wight Day. Okay, which, you know, I'm all for Isle of Wight Day. I think they picked the wrong month to have it in. I think we should have it in May. Say, look, we're open for business. Come and visit. But how about a charity awareness day on the island? Don't tell me you've already done it. A charity awareness day where you just pitch up somewhere and you have an event and you get all your charities there. And it's not... The thing is,
you've got a point, because if there is one, there's four of us sitting in the studio and we haven't heard of it, and... Jeff's major part of the business community. I've got a bit of a political background. You'd think we'd have heard of it if there was such a thing. So there's a germ of an idea there. There are these little events where you have a selection of charities. I mean, Isle of Wight Day is going to support the environmental side of things this year. But, yeah, something that brings everyone together.
500 charities. But you'd have to... Big yeah. park. That's going to have to be a big park.
And you've just got to make it something that people will actually want to go to, because there's that inbuilt reluctance. Oh, it's a charity thing. I'm not interested in that. I want to go and see a band. I want to go and have a pint or whatever. So you've got to be clever how you create that event. But that's the creative bit we need, where we actually look at creating something that will get people in. And there's an event I'm aware of that's hopefully going to come along April next year. There's Autism Awareness Week, and there's a girl called Nicola who is trying to bring together an autism-based event, music festival, but to get all those charities together in one place so people can become aware of them. And that's good, because she's got the right idea of actually trying to hold it as a festival. People like festivals. And then on the back of that, get these people in to advertise their wares, advertise their services, and it just needs maybe a whole island approach to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, don't like the use of the word advertise. It's like just showing people this is what is available to you. You know, it is a case of you have a problem with this, and this. Well, there are people here that can help you. There are people here that are doing this, and this, and they need your help too. You know, you need more companies to come on board. And how great would that be if we had a massive charity day here, just Isle of Wight charities, you know, here on the island, park up the road, excuse me. How brilliant would that be? Now, you can have that idea, Jeff.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that, yeah.
Go to it.
Yeah.
Just before we go, just tell us a little bit more, just details of White Aid. You want to get in touch? This is how you get in touch.
Yeah, so it's whiteaid.org is the website. Dead easy. There's two pages on there. One's donate and one's apply. Basically, I would encourage businesses to get involved. It's better than giving the money to the tax man, because it's all tax deductible. So, you know, we really just want to get as many people together and make a big impact.
I'm a big admirer of your work. Thank you for coming in, Jeff. And thank you, Jonathan. And we are going to go to the newsroom in just two ticks. And hopefully, fingers crossed, it will be Maggie and Kelvin on the other side of the 1 o'clock news.
And so, we'll check Hannah's okay as well.
Yes, we will. Better had, haven't we? Forgotten all about her.